This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
New research shows that almost 6 in 10 Australian workers are struggling with mental distress at work, being overwhelmed by things like unrealistic deadlines, endless meetings, and the pressure to always be on. Sound familiar? Well, psychological injury claims have jumped nearly 30% in just 4 years, and experts warn the burnout is now at crisis levels. So what's going wrong inside our workplaces, and how can we start fixing it? Well, we're joined by Brianna Catanar, National Manager of Mental Health Strategy at Delivery at Allianz Australia. Brianna, welcome to Drive.
Thank you so much for having me, Warren. Lovely to be with you.
These numbers, they're pretty shocking. More than half of workers in mental distress. What stood out to you the most in the new research?
I think it's a really good call out for workplaces that we have increasing numbers of employees who are really starting to struggle with the experiences at work. As you say, we have significant numbers of employees experiencing distress. 80% of the Victorian employees are also reporting that they don't feel like their workplace supports them to implement good work habits and helps to implement boundaries that reduce burnout. And as you say, this is becoming a particular challenge in our workplaces and definitely impacting the health of our workers.
What are the kinds of pressures that are really pushing people to the edge? Is it workload? Is it long hours or something deeper in our work culture?
It does vary a little bit industry to industry, but what our research found is that there are a couple of really consistent things driving this experience. Excessive workloads or unrealistic deadlines are probably the greatest contributors. And so people are just feeling like they're never able to get through the work that they need or that they can't deliver the work in the timeframes that are being asked. And that then impacts how we feel about ourselves, how successful we feel about our work, how satisfied we feel with our work. On top of that, we're also seeing that there are some really significant impacts around just unnecessary tasks and meetings. On average, Australian employees are spending well over 3 hours every week on work that just isn't adding value. So there's some sort of low-hanging fruit to be solved there. Our research, though, also kind of shines a light on the fact that this is broader than just being purely a work load and work design issue, because as Victorians are feeling more and more stressed outside of work around cost of living pressures and their ability to kind of take time personally to look after themselves, that then contributes to increasing baseline levels of stress that then make people more vulnerable in the workplace as well.
So just on that, if 4 in 5 of us say our employers don't enforce healthy boundaries, why do you think, I suppose, that gap still exists when, you know, there isn't a greater awareness around mental health as well? What is it about the boundaries that that workplaces don't understand?
I don't think it's a lack of care in most instances. Mm. I think part of what we've seen is that work has evolved really rapidly over the last sort of 5 years, and the way we work has changed quite distinctly as well. And I don't think all workplaces have been as effective in responding to that. So I hate to use the C word, but we had COVID, and I think particularly in Victoria, we've seen that has really changed the way a lot of us work. This blend of work from home, hybrid work, that has some real advantages around flexibility. But it also has some negative impacts around ability to understand people's workload, help support that, manager's ability to support. We're also seeing more and more utilisation of automation and digital tools and AI in workplaces, which has a lot of potential to improve the experience of burnout. But in the short term, what it's also doing is the first things we automate, the first things we take away are a lot of those kind of low demand tasks. So it might be data entry and things like that. And while they can be quite frustrating for people to complete and a bit boring, they also give us some of that mental downtime. Mm. And as we automate more and more of those low value tasks, what it does mean is we're asking more and more demanding work of our people, more and more social work, more customer based work, and the tasks that we know are more likely to be associated with burnout.
We're chatting with Brianna Catanar from Allianz Australia about the growing burnout epidemic, with some new research showing nearly 3 million of us could walk away from our jobs in the next year. So do you feel burnout at work? What's the biggest cause? Long hours, maybe poor management, or just never being able to switch off. Text 0427 569 949. Brianna, nearly 3 million thinking about quitting. Do you reckon that signals burnout? The burnout itself has become almost normalised in workplaces, and we kind of accept a bit of a transient workforce now as a result?
I think, unfortunately, that is becoming a bit of our reality. And, you know, to that point of normalising burnout, I think there's also some unhealthy misconceptions that burnout is linked to high performance and good work. And it's absolutely not. We can work incredibly successfully, be fantastic contributors, and ideally not be burnt out. But I think what we are seeing is that as people have less satisfaction with their work, again, as they're less engaged in the social fabric of their work because they're spending less time with their colleagues, it is meaning that they are much more mobile and much more likely to kind of vote with their feet and leave a workplace that they don't feel is supporting them in other ways that are becoming increasingly important. And particularly what we're seeing at the moment is employers are wanting support for their mental health, and they're wanting that support around how they switch off at the end of the day.
I find burnout, it kind of creeps up on you. You start, you know, you get that feeling of exhaustion, and then there's that mental checkout. It's harder to come back from that place, isn't it, once you reach it, in terms of your satisfaction with that job and employer?
It can be really difficult for people at times, and particularly if that experience of burnout isn't met with some really good support from the workplace, that can just add to those feelings of disengagement and exhaustion that we're feeling. So the most important thing is proactivity in this space. It is not unusual for people to feel stressed. That's quite a healthy and normal experience. Burnout occurs when that stress becomes consistent and elevated and undue, and there's not support and ways of managing it. And so for both workers themselves and also their leaders and their workplaces, we need to be really proactive about recognising when that stress is becoming unhelpful and unwarranted, and intervening early, because as you say, burnout does have a tendency to creep up on people. It is a compounding experience. And when people do start to become more challenged and more disengaged, bringing them back into the workplace can become increasingly difficult as well.
Kylie in Preston says, I'm in meetings all day and I'm still expected to answer my emails at night. Totally burnt out. What would you say, Brianna, in terms of what we can do to prevent burnout, but once we get there, what can we do?
It's a great question. And there's some really strong research that came out of our data this year that shows that there are some really practical things people can do to try and safeguard themselves. That involves building genuine kind of recovery time into your working routines, but also your time outside of work. And we have to recognize that things like caring for children, cooking meals, keeping a house, looking after aging parents, that's kind of unpaid work. And so if you're doing those tasks, you're not really resting and recovering. So we need time during the workday and time outside of work where we're actually just getting some downtime. We're doing the activities that we love. We're connecting with the people that we love in a social sense. It sounds quite basic, but those are the things that actually have the most tangible positive impact on people's energy and, by extension, experience of burnout. In workplaces, I think it's about looking at your own work routines and identifying where maybe you have overcommitted, where there are, as your caller said, meetings and things that aren't adding value that you're in, or where there is that overload, and trying to create some boundaries, trying to create some more space, feeling okay to say no or okay to push some things back. But that also requires us to be able to have that dialogue with our manager and to have support from them. So the other really important thing is that workplaces are responsive as well. And we saw from employees that we surveyed that 36% would love to see more training and more tools in the toolbox of their managers so they're better able to respond and they're better able to support them. 34% spoke about the fact that they would love their workplace to do a bit of an audit of those unnecessary tasks and meetings and put in place some practices to try and eliminate them. And 30% said they would actually just really benefit from recurring scheduled mental health days so they know when they've got that moment in time coming up where they can really invest in themselves and do some things to support their well-being.
Brianna, do you reckon we're reaching a turning point where, I suppose, mental well-being will finally be treated as essential to productivity and not an optional extra and a nice to have?
I really hope so. And the business case for the data is unequivocally there. We have a wealth of information now that shows that the health and well-being of your workforce goes hand in hand with their productivity, goes hand in hand with their loyalty to your business, and goes hand in hand with your business outcomes. So they are all things that businesses should be wanting to secure and achieve. And we know that investment in this space actually does have a really significant ROI. There's long-standing data that speaks to the fact that on average, workplaces can expect to see about a $3.40 return on every single dollar they invest in mental health and wellbeing.
Ruffian Carlton says, I love my job but hate the culture of being always available. We really need to get that separation, don't we, between work and home and rest?
Absolutely. I think it's a huge challenge. It's something that challenges me at times as well. And I think there's, again, there's sort of two avenues here. We need workplaces to put in some policies and put in some processes actually for industries where it's particularly prevalent, prevent that kind of outside of work engagement. But I think there's also some really simple things that workers can do as well that help them and help their colleagues. So I think flexible work is fantastic. I understand that for a lot of us, we might take time in the afternoons to do school drop-off or other tasks and then log back in at night. And that actually works well for our routine. But not everyone works that way. And it means that we now have volumes of email going off at all times of the day and night. So simple things like putting a delay on your email so it only sends between the hours of sort of 8 and 5 is a great way to help manage some of that perceived overwork or some of that always on. Where people have work mobile devices, trying to have a separate personal and work device is another really great strategy because it does allow you to put that work device down.
Yeah, what a great idea. I remember when, you know, you didn't have everything was provided by the workplace and it didn't merge with your personal stuff. Yep. So it was very easy. But the problem is you leave the job, you know, your number goes with it. But we don't have to do that now. Yeah. Brianna?
No, and sometimes it's about that balancing, you know, the logistical inconvenience with what's actually going to be good for our well-being.
Exactly. Great to chat with you. Important conversation. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. That's Brianna Kattner, National Manager of Mental Health Strategy and Delivery at Allianz Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.